We can have a baseball game with two umpires. Have you ever struggled with doubt when it comes to your faith? Doubt knocks at the door of every believer from one time or another. And the reason for this is that our faith is never perfect. Our faith grows, for sure, and it is enhanced and it deepens. But there is always a doubt gap between our current faith and a perfect faith. Maybe we sometimes doubt our relationship with God. Maybe some trial has got us flustered, and because of that trial, we doubt God's love. Maybe we're just not sure of our salvation. And the fact remains that no one is immune from doubt. A man who came to proclaim the Messiah, John the Baptist, doubted. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 3, John had sent some of his disciples to Jesus, and they asked him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" What we've been through these last few months have caused many to lose sight of where we stand faith-wise. Dan Williams of Harding University shared a story illustrating how we can, in stressful times, overlook the obvious, the things that are important. He said the Lone Ranger and Tonto were camping in the desert. And after they got their tent set up, they both fell asleep. Hours later, Tonto wakes up. And he wakes up the Lone Ranger saying, "Kimo sabe, look towards the sky and tell me what you see." And the Lone Ranger, after a moment, he replies, "I see millions of stars." Then Tonto asks, "What does that tell you?" The Lone Ranger thinks for another minute, and then he finally says, "Astronomically, it tells me there are millions of galaxies and billions of stars and planets. Astrologically, it tells me that Saturn is in Leo. Time-wise, it tells me that it's 3:15 in the morning. Theologically, the Lord is all-powerful, and we are small and insignificant. Meteorologically, it tells me that we're going to have a fine day tomorrow. What's that tell you, Tonto?" And Tonto replied, "Kimo sabe, you are dumber than buffalo. It means someone stole our tent." We oftentimes lose sight of the obvious, of the things that are important. We often lose sight that God is in control and that He knows our anxiousness, that He knows our pain, and that He is still walking alongside of us. Here is the obvious and the important. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And then verse 38 and 39. "For we know that in all things God works for good to those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." Verses 38 and 39. "We can be sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. "God has not given us the spirit of fear and timidity, but power, love, and self-discipline." And finally, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Where God says, "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor discouraged, for the God, Lord your God, is with you wherever you go." Webster defines doubt as to be afraid, to be apprehensive, uncertain, undecided in our beliefs, a lack of confidence and trust, the absence of faith. There are many causes for one to start doubting. One of those is our human reasoning. This results in our questioning God about His purposes and His promises. And this is where doubt becomes progressive. It goes something like this. Why did God allow this to happen? Do you believe that God should allow this to happen to good people? The next step is, if God is a God of love, He shouldn't allow such a thing. This is one of those progressive arguments that Satan seems to want to win, especially when we conclude that we can't believe in and worship a God who would allow things bad to happen. C.S. Lewis said that if you examine 100 people who have lost their faith, most would simply reason themselves out of it by what they considered to be honest arguments. Secondly, apparent unanswered prayers results in doubt. We pray good, honest, heartfelt, expectant prayers, and the answers do not come as we expect, or they don't come within our time frame. And so we allow doubt to begin to spread. There are reasons that God says no. God may have something better in mind for us than what we are praying for. God sees the future, and He knows how it is all going to work out. Sometimes God tells us to wait. It took 25 years for God to answer Abraham and Sarah's prayer for a son. 25 years. And there are times when God allows us, sometimes even leads us through the suffering and the trials in order to refine and improve and strengthen our character. At one time or another, we have all doubted God to some degree because of an unanswered prayer. Doubt also creeps in because of sometimes our disappointment with people. There are those who have lost their faith because they have placed their trust and their confidence in a person or in a church rather than God and His promises. Some will tell you that they will not go to worship anymore, or that they are not as involved as they once were because there were so many hypocrites. How many times do people call us hypocrites? We are all hypocritical sometimes. And we just need to distinguish between a hypocrite and a Christian who, at certain moments in their lives, become weak. There's a huge difference in that. A hypocrite is one who tries to convince others that they are something else other than what they are on the inside. They play act religion for the sole purpose of deceiving someone. Fortunately, there aren't many of those in the Lord's church. There are some, but not many. But what we do have a lot of in our churches are, I guess you could say, sometimes weak Christians. We're the Christians who don't always act like Christians. We believe in Christ, but we can't always live up to His standards. And we all fit into that category in different moments in our lives. And maybe sometimes even once or twice a day, maybe more. But our faith needs to be placed in God and not people, certainly not in a church. We can't build our faith on a person or a preacher or a teacher, but we can build our faith upon God. And there are other doubts that occur due to our own failures, our own sin failures, if you will. Some simply have walked away from their faith. They've given up because they have tried and tried and tried, but each and every time they fail. Satan, I guess you could say, is our flesh nature. And sometimes our own lust and evil desires wins out and we find ourselves spiritually sick with doubt. This is the kind of sickness that can at times lead to death if we are not careful. We are brought to our knees time and time again till we give up. We need to remind ourselves that which Paul spoke of in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9. For by grace you were saved through the faith. And it is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Faith, our confidence, our trust needs to be in God and His forgiveness, not in our ability to live a sinless life. And there are those who doubt because of their own laziness. The great example of this is in Revelation chapter 3, the church at Laodicea. They were severely criticized by Jesus because of their apathy, their carelessness, not carelessness, their carelessness, and their lukewarmness. This church just sat down and were not doing anything to exercise their faith. Faith isn't passive. James 2:17 tells us and reminds us that faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by works, is dead. When was the last time we exercised and worked our faith to keep it fit? Paul tells us in Philippians 2 and verse 12 that we are to work out our own salvation. In other words, we need to exercise our faith. And doubt flourishes when we fail to count our blessings. In Jesus' parable of the prodigal son, in Luke chapter 15, the son comes home. The father rejoices and gives a party to celebrate his return. The older brother, he gets upset instead of counting his blessings. He starts to complain and criticize. Why didn't you give me a kid or a calf and a party to celebrate with my friends? Poor me, I am a victim in this world. And his father replies to his son, he says, you live in the father's house every day. You know nothing else. You are blessed beyond measure. All that I have is yours. I've provided you everything you need every day. And we know that God is the Father in this narrative and that we are the sons. And I hope we can get the message that that parable gives out. There are some who are like this older brother who have lived in the Father's house so long that they take his gifts and blessings for granted, and doubt creeps in. How do we overcome doubt? It's probably like Occam's razor. It's something so simple, it's the first thing we can think of, but we dismiss it because it is so simple. The first one is the will to believe. We need to make a determined choice today to believe, trust, and obey completely in God. Secondly, we need to know that faith does not demand proof. This was kind of a small problem with Gideon in Judges chapter 6, where he wanted a sign from God that would prove that he was going to come through with his promises. Faith is believing, accepting, trusting, and obeying despite our doubts. We've heard it many times that without faith it is impossible to please God. We must believe with all our hearts that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Proof is not what pleases God. Proof is not what makes us His children. Proof isn't what saves us. Faith is. Thirdly, we need to ask for help. In Mark chapter 9, there was a father who came to Jesus. His son was possessed by an evil spirit. And Jesus, when he was asking him, he said, "Do you believe?" And the man in verse 24, he says, "I believe, help me in my unbelief." The man asked Jesus for help, and Jesus helped. He restored his son. We need to talk sometimes amongst each other about our doubts that we have, not leave them all bottled up. And in doing so, we can encourage one another. And we must decide to stay healthy, and I'm talking about spiritually healthy. We need to love God with all of our heart, mind, strength, and soul. If we go into this life as a Christian half-hearted, we are going to leave room for doubt to grow. We must be careful of the company that we keep. We may have to stay away from those who have tested positive of serious doubts, because sometimes they can drag us under. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 to put on the whole armor of God in verse 11. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, fitted with feet with the readiness of the gospel, to take up the shield of faith, put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And then he says to pray often. No matter what trials we face, whether it is this pandemic that keeps ravaging the country and the world, or whether it is some other trial that is trying to distract us, where we end up taking our eyes off of Christ. In times like these, we need to continue each and every day asking for God's help to endure. For sure, doubt will rob us of the greatness of the kingdom. Imagine the great things that we can accomplish for the Lord if we don't allow a weak faith and doubt to rob us. Think of who we could win to Christ, or teach, or be able to serve in some capacity. Doubt's going to come to each and every one of us at some time or another from this moment on, just as it has continued before now. It isn't so much that we have them, but how we deal with them and how we allow them to affect us. If there is any here tonight who are in need of our prayers, we want to give you. We sing.